Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
This weekend, our church around the world celebrates the fourth week of Advent. Christmas is just a few days away. And in the gospel for us today, we have the account of Jesus' birth told to us by Matthew. Now notice how it begins. It says, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Now stop right there. It's important for us to understand how marriage was conducted in the ancient world, especially according to the Jewish ritual customs. Essentially, the marriage ceremony was or consisted of two parts. The first part is the betrothal ceremony. It took place at the home of the father of the bride. Here, the groom would come to the home of the father of the bride, which the bride was living with her parents, and basically would negotiate a marriage contract with the father of the bride in order to marry his daughter. Part of the contract was a sum of money that the groom had to pay the father of the bride. And then, after that was completed, the betrothal ceremony was completed. And therefore, this betrothal ceremony was legally binding. The only way that you could terminate this agreement was either by divorce or by death. Now, after this ceremony, the bride continued to live with her parents at her parents' house. The groom lived in his own house. Furthermore, during this time period, the groom worked probably very hard to earn enough money to pay the sum of money that he negotiated with the father of the bride. Now, this period of time in which the bride was living with her parents lasted approximately about a year or so. And often the groom would come and visit his bride at the parents' house as a supervised visit. And this is exactly what Joseph and Mary are doing right now. At the very end of this period, when the groom had enough money, he would then go to the bride's house and they would conduct the marriage ceremony. And part of the last process of the marriage ceremony would be the groom taking his bride now into his house. Thereby, they would live together as husband and wife. And so right now, Mary and Joseph are in that transitionary period of time, right after the betrothal ceremony and right before the marriage ceremony. And so Joseph is visiting Mary. Now, on this occasion, as he visits Mary, he finds out that she is pregnant. Now, this is devastating for Joseph. You can only imagine the feelings that are going through his mind. Mary is the woman that he loves. Mary is the woman that he wanted to live the rest of his life with. However, now he finds out that she is pregnant, and it is not his child. You can only imagine the feelings that Joseph is experiencing upon this news. Feelings of anger, humiliation, even betrayal. Now, Joseph cancels the wedding plans. It says in the story, Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Now, that's an interesting detail about Joseph. It says he was a righteous man, which means what? It means that he is of great moral character. He knows the law. And the law, the Torah, calls for a woman who is caught or found in adultery to be punished by stoning to death. Now remember, it says he was unwilling to expose her to shame and decided to divorce her quietly. Despite the fact that Joseph has now experienced a great deal of pain, His first thoughts are not about himself, but instead they are about Mary. And here is a great indication of just how much Joseph loved her. He wants to divorce her quietly. He knows consequences of the law of the Torah, and therefore he's trying to divorce her quietly in order to protect her from that type of punishment. Next, it says, "Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" In this dream, Joseph hears that what he thought was all but lost, now his whole future is turned upside down. In this dream, the angel tells Joseph God's great plan of salvation for the world and how Joseph is now going to play an integral part of it all. Now stay with that concept of dreams. Dreams in sacred scripture are vehicles of divine communication. They're one way in which God communicates to his people in sacred scripture. I'll give you some examples. In the Old Testament, Joseph, after being sold into slavery by his own brothers, has the ability to interpret dreams. And because of that, he rises very quickly to a very prominent position in the Egyptian government. And in doing so, is able to save not only his family, but all of Israel from famine. How about Daniel? Daniel, too, is given the ability to interpret dreams. In this case, for the king of Babylon. More to it, he has that great dream, that great vision of Jesus descending from the clouds and the angels ascending and descending upon him. Go back to Joseph. Joseph will have more dreams in which the angels will appear to him. First, they'll tell him to flee into Egypt to protect the infant because Herod is seeking the infant's life. Later on, the angels will appear to Joseph again and tell him to go back to live in Nazareth because it's safe that Herod is now dead. And so, what are we to make of all this? Well, God speaks to all of us. God speaks to us through the sacraments, through sacred scripture, through the Eucharist. He speaks to us through prayer. What must we do? We must listen to him. Why? Why does God speak to us? I think the answer can be found from Pope John Paul II. Pope John Paul said, "God speaks to us so that we can know him, love him, and serve him. Therefore, what is expected of us is to always be listening to him in prayer." And yet, what's the problem? Is when we stop listening to him, when we stop praying. Often, people come up to me and they tell me, they say, "You know, Father, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't feel a sense of direction. I don't feel a sense of purpose or meaning in my life. I don't know where God is." The first question I'll ask them is, "Do you pray every day?" Most of the time, they'll respond to me by saying, "No." My response to them, start right away. Like dreams in sacred scripture that help people to know and love and serve God, so prayer does for us. How else can we come to know God's will unless we pray? How else can we know to trust and be reassured of God's presence in our life? How else can we know, love, and serve the Lord unless we are praying every day and several times a day? Now, take it a step further. These dreams, they symbolize ways to see perspective that we never thought we were capable of seeing before. Joseph, he has this dream, and the angel essentially gives him the great vision, the great plan that God has for saving the world. Now Joseph sees it all. And yet without God, Joseph would have never been able to see this great perspective, this great vision of God's plan of salvation. And yet, what's the temptation for us all? Rationalism. which is so prevalent in our culture right now. Rationalism is the attitude in which we say, you know, I have to see it in order to believe it. I have to understand it before I can believe. Yet faith is a willingness to dream. Faith is a willingness to pray, such that we open ourselves up so that now we can think, feel, and see things that we were never able to see before through the presence of God in our life. And see, a great example of that is in the first reading. Here, King Ahaz, the king of Israel, is surrounded by forces that are ready to attack Israel, and he doesn't know what to do. The prophet Isaiah comes to him to help him, encourage him to trust in God and to act with confidence. God then speaks to Ahaz and says, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the nether world or as high as the sky." Essentially, what God is telling Ahaz is ask for anything. In fact, aim high. Ask for something spectacular and God will give it to him as a sign that God will always protect him, will always be with him. God wants Ahaz to dream and dream big. He wants Ahaz to pray, and to pray big. Now, in some ways, at times in our life, we are like Ahaz. We're wondering what to do in our life. Maybe we are afraid or intimidated by things in this world, or we lack a sense of trust in the presence of God in our life. Now, notice what Ahaz says. He says, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Well, he's afraid to ask God. And yet, how does God respond? He says, "It is not enough for you to weary people. Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel." God reveals to Ahaz his plan of salvation. Now realize the significance of this. Ahaz is living approximately 750 years before Jesus Christ is even born. And this is how great this vision is. God is showing Ahaz just exactly what will happen as his son, Jesus Christ, is going to enter into this world and save it. And see, Joseph, like Ahaz, they both are given visions of God's great plan of salvation. It's something, or it's a perspective, that they never could have imagined before on their own. And yet, now God is revealing this to them. See, there are times in which we feel like Ahaz and Joseph. We have problems in our life. No one's immune from them. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed by those problems. And yet, God is always with us. In fact, he is present with us during those problems as a source of hope and strength. What's expected of us? One simple thing, to pray, and to pray big. Through prayer, God gives us a perspective that we never imagined ourselves or on our own. God gives us that. And therefore, we must trust in his presence. Trust that he will always be with us, even during the most difficult times of our life, like Ahaz and Joseph. I'll leave you just one last thought. We just have a few days left before we celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior. Again, please don't be lured by the temptation of commercialism or materialism, running out into the shopping malls and stores. Instead, go to your church and quietly spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament and pray. Pray big so that you can come to know him, love him, and serve him. May the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.